Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the First World Manila podcast. For those of you just dropping in, First World Manila is a brand that makes understanding economic and urban development in Manila and the Philippines more interesting to a larger audience. So I am Ramon Rodrigo Calao Cuenca, CFA. I am the founder and director of First World Manila. And how First World Manila makes these topics more interesting is by creating content that's more accessible to people, whether it be via vlogs on YouTube, fine art exhibits, or even this podcast. So that's how we go about making economic and urban development more interesting to a broader audience in Manila. Okay, so today's episode is going to be about understanding Manila's infrastructure problem. And when I say infrastructure, I think the most obvious problem we face is traffic. I mean, that's the most relatable issue that you and me and everyone else in Manila faces and elsewhere in the Philippines. Traffic is a sign of, or the amount of traffic that we go through every day is a sign of a broader infrastructure problem. So infrastructure, the way I use it is, you know, in terms of enough roads and bridges and a subway system, et cetera, to help our economy and standard of living. So it's not a secret that infrastructure is an issue in the Philippines. In fact, if any of you watched the first World Manila vlog, when I showed that list of the top problems of doing business in the Philippines, number two, right under government efficiency, was infrastructure. So that's been an obvious problem for a long time. And this episode, I want to talk about what the current administration is doing to alleviate these problems. Obviously, we all feel the infrastructure problem. Just take a car out and drive it around Metro Manila, or even take the train where in recent weeks and months, train cars have broken or have not been available, trains have broken down, et cetera, et cetera. So it's something that we all face, a problem that we all face. But beyond the more obvious impacts that have a negative effect on our daily lives, there's more sort of problems that aren't immediately felt because of infrastructure. I'm specifically referring to the problem of productivity, and to make that concept more tangible to most of my viewers, productivity in the terms of just being able to get things done here in Metro Manila. So one way to measure the impact of infrastructure our infrastructure problems on productivity is actually to look at a study done in 2014 by the Japan International Cooperation Agency, also known as JICA, and NEDA, the National Economic Development Authority. Traffic congestion costs at least 2.4 billion pesos every day in Metro Manila alone. So, in other words, we could have been much richer by 2.4 billion pesos every day in 2014 if our traffic and broader infrastructure problems were alleviated. So that's a pretty insane number. I think according to more recent data, it's now approximately 2.8 billion pesos every day. So it's I mean that includes inflation, but still it's a high number. Okay, so that's obviously a problem. Just being able to get things done and be productive and generate wealth in the city and the country is hampered by traffic and infrastructure problems. If you ever read the news, or maybe more of the denser stuff regarding these issues, some economists refer to this problem as the middle income trap, where basically things like infrastructure bottlenecks stops the Philippines from moving up to a higher standard of living and obviously wealth generated. Let's see. Okay. Basically, there's no there's not enough structural support to really bolster further economic growth that is inclusive, so that would benefit all sectors of society. And you need working roads or less traffic and ways easier modes of transportation for people to just to get around and get things done. That's obviously the idea here is that, I mean, obviously for local businesses, just being able to get things done probably helps you generate more revenue, ideally, and maybe helps your business grow and helps you hire more employees, pay them a better salary, assuming the economy is doing well. Also, bringing in more foreign investors to set up business here, and obviously to bring in their managerial know-how and technology. It's obviously an incentive to have better infrastructure to bring in those foreign businesses. Again, to make economic growth here more inclusive, i.e., hiring more people and providing them a better quality of life, and also, job opportunities, basically. According to the Deputy Governor Gunigundo, I think it's how you pronounce it, of Banco Central. We actually have a few things going for our economy. So, and that's probably why you've seen a bull market in recent years, and also why the economy has been growing at a clip of like what, 6-7% annually. I mean, there's a favorable demographic. So you have a young population that's ready to work and buy stuff. And so things like that is sort of a what they call an economic tailwind, meaning that it sort of supports the economy, and that's why there's a lot of interest in the Philippines right now. But what's stopping us from going even further is the fact that the infrastructure isn't there to really again support our growth or our inclusive economic growth. Okay. So why hasn't infrastructure been really addressed previously? The two past administrations focused a lot more on, I mean, not that they didn't look at infrastructure, but there was a stronger emphasis on fiscal responsibility. Like, for example, they can basically cleaning the Philippines' finances so that they can pay foreign debt. That's one thing. I mean, they're obviously the previous administrations had the reasons for that. I mean, you could interpret that now that our fiscal position, meaning our ability to pay off foreign debt, for example, is better, we can actually borrow more to actually fund and finance our infrastructure, for example. So there's that angle. But the point is, regardless of what the reasons are, there was more of an emphasis on really fixing up our tax collecting powers. So even spending in previous administrations, even spending on infrastructure as a percentage of GDP wasn't as much of a priority in terms of the numbers. So I'm going to pull up a link for those of you who are just listening to the audio only version of this podcast. I'm going to pull up a link here. Okay, this graphic here from Business World, it's pretty telling. I mean, as they say, a chart tells a whole story. Or is that the right saying? I can't remember, but something like a picture says it tells a thousand world. Sorry, a thousand words. Yeah. Okay. So, looking at this graphic from Business World, it says here, infrastructure, the road ahead. So this is a graphic comparing historical infrastructure spending as a percentage of GDP of previous administrations and to that of the current administration, of the Duterte administration. So you have a peak, for example, percentage-wise under Marcos, so 3.2% of GDP was lower under Aquino, Ramos, Estrada hitting an all-time low with GMA, then a pickup, a significant pickup to 2.9% under Noy Noy. But here, look at this chart here. This is the projected. This is for those who can't see the video, who are listening on audio only. This is a line chart here showing the expected public spending on infrastructure under the current administration. So we have here, I mean, 2015 is at 4.3%, which is pretty high, but the goal is to eventually climb to 7.3% by 2022. So that is quite a bit. So it looks like the current administration is really serious about fixing infrastructure here. So whatever you think of the Duterte administration's politics, in terms of economics, is I mean, at face value, this looks good. How will the Duterte administration finance this broad infrastructure plan? By the way, which is called a build, build, build. It's pretty obvious what that means, right? The name build, build, build. I don't have to spell it out for you what the emphasis is on. So how are they doing that? How are they financing this? Maybe some of you have heard of the recently passed train act. It's a tax. TRAIN stands for Tax Reform for Acceleration and Inclusion. So basically additional, well, there's a cut on personal income tax basically, but also additional taxes on things like fuel and motor vehicles. So, and there is a horn in the background. Someone's beeping outside, but well, nothing, not much we can do about that, but I will continue talking and hopefully the horn won't disrupt me too much. Okay. 70% of revenue from train is earmarked to go to infrastructure development. So again, this is from train again is a it's balancing it's basically balancing personal income tax cuts with increased taxes on items like gas and vehicles. So that's the idea, is to efficiently get more taxes to fund infrastructure. That's one. Again, train is going is estimated to account for about 25% of build, build, build. So again, those are estimates, but it's worth taking into consideration. Okay. Another form of funding. Is actually coming from government fu from foreign government funding. So the Duterte administration is looking to cut deals with foreign governments, particularly Japan and China. So this is actually this is the difference from the previous Aquino administration, where the emphasis was more on public and private partnerships, basically partnerships between the government and private corporations. So it's more of a government to government way of funding this time around. Hopefully it works. Certainly you can search the internet for arguments for and against this, but that's currently what the administration is looking to do to help fund build, build, build. For build, 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 there are about 75 keystone projects, the majority of which is in Metro Manila. Based on my research, the two of the biggest most noticeable projects in Metro Manila under Build 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 is C6 and the Mega Manila Subway. So I just want to show you this post from Esquire. This is a proposed, I believe this is a proposed, well, no, this is not the actual proposed plan for those of you who are watching, but for those of you who are just listening, this is a plan that a forum user just created to show like what a subway station might look like. So this isn't official, but it's worth considering. And I've seen this picture make the rounds on social media. So it just looks so neat, like all the little colored lines and everything like that. Anyway, that's just to put an imagination to what these proposed or what these planned initiatives for building the subway are. Okay, so. Again, improving our infrastructure so that the net effect being an increased standard of living across all of society in Manila and the Philippines. So, What are the risks? Well, aside from the obvious implementation risks, you have, I suppose, corruption falls under this. Some critics of build, 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 and its way of funding by with train, for example, is a higher than expected inflation. I do not want to get too much into the details of the economic details of inflation here, but suffice it to say is that if prices of goods that are being sold are become more expensive, or they're going, or the public knows that they're going to be more expensive because of these increase in taxes, people are going to, the idea is that people are going to start buying more commodities, hence bringing up the price. And the price of commodities will be higher relative to the Philippine peso. So that's inflation, basically, because overall the Philippine peso becomes weaker. Its purchasing power is weaker. The idea here is that with a weaker peso, you don't know how things may turn out. The peso might fall steeply, hence leading to a bunch of things in the economy, like the government increasing interest rates to stabilize the economy and other things, which I don't want to talk about too much in detail in this episode, maybe in another episode, and it might lead to a weaker economy. That's one major criticism. And it is, and there has been some data for that has shown that inflation in the Philippines has been moving up recently, although that's been before major implementation of trains. So again, we're going to see what happens with that. So inflation is something to watch out for. Other critics against the build, 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 and train in particular is that some believe that train is anti-poor. Basically, that the idea is that the poor don't really earn a huge income, so maybe the income tax rate might not affect them. Also, the excise taxes, basically the taxes on goods like fuel and vehicles, might affect them. I will say that I think there's a good article addressing that issue. I'm just going to click over here and look for it on my trusty web browser. Let's see. Okay. Well, I can't look at it now. Hold on. Well, basically, there's an article here called Assessing. Well, anyways, there's an article. I will link to it in the description about how train is basically it's basically a set of compromises. And even though taxes on fuel, for example, will be higher, one economist, oh, here we go. Here we go. I'm pulling it up now. One writer was saying that basically fuel tax fuel is mainly consumed, according to him, fuel is mainly consumed by the well-off. So this article in Business World called Assessing Train, he's basically saying that even if there's a tax on fuel, it's not really affected by affecting the poor because they don't really consume that much fuel, all things considered. Obviously, it's not a perfect, according to this op-ed, it's not a perfect bill. Trade is not a perfect bill, but it's our tax initiative. But again, politics are intertwined with economics. So there are basically political compromises. So there are compromises on all different parts of society that are sort of included in this in train. So it's not perfect. There are a lot of trade-offs, but that's the way it is. So generally speaking, I don't want to be too carried with ideology. And if there's a compromise, if compromises have to be made, that's fine. As long as we're getting something done and moving forward, I think that's the most important thing. Okay, so those are the two major criticisms, whether train, what, how fair train is, and also inflation. Okay, so what's the current situation of build, build, build? earlier in January of this year, the C6 was broken. Had a sorry, the ground was broken for C6, which is a an expressway to connect the gig with Quezon City. So that's a good start. For the Mega Manila subway deal, actually, the Philippine government, the first tranche of a loan that is taken from Japan has been signed in March, and the plan is to start it so that by 2020, partial operations will begin. Yeah, keep in mind we're in 2018, so that's in 2 years. So that's I feel like those are very ambitious goals, but we'll see where the government goes with this. So hopefully things get done. Okay. So that's basically it in a nutshell for the initiatives currently to fix infrastructure in Manila and to a certain extent the Philippines as well. I would just want to emphasize that the message I want to continue broadcast with First of Manila is that we all have our own politics and our own thoughts of how things should be done. But we have to, if we're gonna move to the next stage of growth, which is inclusive economic growth and a higher standard of living for everybody, we as a society have to agree on a few key things, particularly in the economic and urban development side of things. So I'd like for everyone to support the current administration in these overall broad policies, and hopefully even after the end of the current administration, whoever continues, at least the policies will more or less continue as well, instead of being stuck and nothing gets done. So that's again what I want for everyone to take away from this. Okay. And before I stop, today's Spanish and Tagalog word of the day is yo, yo, ako. Yo in Espanol, ako in Tagalog. Yo, ako, me. So hopefully I added a little bit of culture to this podcast. And yeah, that's it. Okay, that's it for today's episode. I will see you guys soon. Have a good day or good evening.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.